question. And don't raise your hand unless you plan on coming up here if you need to. Anybody in here need a miracle tonight? Let me see a hand. If you need a miracle, stand up here. Come up here. See, if you can't come up here, there's something wrong with you. If you're more full of whatever that you can't, now, if you don't need a miracle, don't come up here for God's sake. But you know what I'm tired of? Church is normal. You know, there's nothing normal about church. If the Holy Ghost shows up, let's bring this line in a little bit where little Miss, my friend here, even though I forgot her name right now, but I think it's Melissa Helton. I love all of you. I don't believe that you came up in vain. You know, you have to act on the word. You have to act on the promise. You can't just sit there. And I could be a nice guy and just put us all to sleep and get us out of here at 10 minutes to 8. Everybody'd be happy. But my God, what if something happens in here? What if somebody gets what they came for God's sake? That's what church is all about. Everybody that prays in tongues, I want you up here to pray. And please forgive us if that offends anybody. This is a Holy Ghost church. This is not anything else. Build yourself and get ready, because I'm gonna lay my hands on you and believe God for your miracle. See in the audience, somebody pray. Come on now. Let me hear something. Let me hear somebody praying in the Holy Ghost. Stir up the Spirit. Kelly, I want you to just receive. I think one of the hardest things for us to learn is just how to open up and receive. Now, the Bible says, don't lay hands suddenly on no person. But see, I'm not doing this suddenly. I'm doing with the purpose of the Lord. I believe somebody's going to get their miracle tonight. And I want all of you to know one thing. You have got to know how to open your heart. Yeah. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Revelation 3:20. If anyone can hear me and will open up, I will come in and give them their miracle. Kelly, I want you to learn how to just open up and realize you're just as good as anybody else. The eyes of the Lord, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, go to and fro across the face of the earth looking for somebody that he can give a miracle. Somebody that will receive a miracle. Somebody that's got that kind of heart. In the name of Jesus. Tonight. Lord, let the days of drought, spiritual drought, be over in this place. I loose your power. In Jesus' name, Kelly, receive your miracle. Keisha. New believers sometimes can receive quicker than anybody else. Will you receive tonight?
I will.
Okay, I know you will. When God brings it, will you testify of it and tell what good things he did? Father, in Jesus' name, Keisha, receive tonight. Receive your miracle. I speak a miracle into your life tonight. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, Mary. Notice I ain't asking people what it is. It's none of my business. I'm just the guy that God's going to use to release those miracles. In Jesus' name, tonight, receive your miracle. Receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. People say, well, what if nothing happens? Well, I got one better than that. What if something does happen? Boy, has it happened over and over in this place. Over and over. If you've been here, you've seen it. You know what you want. You've got it in your heart. I want to see your long face turn into a face of joy, continual joy. So, Alyssa, look at me. I mean this. From God's heart to your heart, receive your miracle in Jesus' name. He wants to give it to you. You don't have to earn it. You just have to believe it and ask for it. Open your heart and receive from God. Okay? Hello, sweet little girl. You're always going to be a sweet little girl to me. You got your heart and your mind completely fixed on what you want God to do? All right, then. Look at me. From God's heart to yours, I mean this. Receive your miracle right now, whatever it is. Nothing's too big for God. Nothing's too difficult. Receive it in Jesus' name right now tonight. Young lady, have you ever received answered prayer? Okay. You know exactly what you want? All right. From God's heart, look here. You don't have to earn it. It's yours. In Jesus' name right now, receive your miracle, young lady. Receive your miracle. Receive your miracle right now. Right now in Jesus' name. If we don't do anything tonight but pray for people, we're way ahead. God bless you. God bless you. I'm glad you came. I believe God brought you here for a purpose. Miss Sherry, God bless you. You know exactly what you want. And you know and you've seen God. And you know he'll move for you. In the matchless name of Jesus, receive your miracle. Whatever it is, nothing's too big. Nothing's too difficult. Receive it now. Receive it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Miss Barbara, do you know what you want?
I'm working on it.
Okay. All right. Look at me. Understand what I just said to you. Do you know what you came up here for?
Yes.
Okay. Now, that's right. You've got that in your heart, which one it is. So close your eyes. And from God's heart to your heart, in Jesus' name, be healed. And receive your miracle right now in Jesus' name. Look at me. God said, I'm going to turn back the hands of time. I don't know what this means. I'm just telling you what I see. I'm going to turn back the hands of time and don't talk. You want to talk, but just receive this, okay? I'm going to turn back the hands of time, God said. And I'm going to give you something that people said you couldn't get. And he's going to do it because he loves you.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Now, you that are sitting there, if any of these people that came up, if you have a word for them, go to them and give them that word right now in Jesus' name. I know you believe. And you've seen. And you know what? At times, does it seem like he gives it to others, but where's mine? You ever feel like that? Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm not just blurting. I'm saying what I believe the Holy Ghost is saying. Because he loves you. You don't have to prove yourself or prove your worth. He just wants you to open up. Millie, put your hands on her. Put your hands on her heart right now, Millie. In Jesus' name, receive your miracle, the one that you came up for. In Jesus' name, receive it right now. Amen and amen. Somebody believe with me. Somebody just help me with this here. In Jesus' name. You know exactly what you want? Okay, sweetie. Now, I'm not going to do that to anybody else in this line, but... Open up your heart. In Jesus' name, receive your miracle. Receive it now. Receive it tonight and forever and ever. Receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lay your hands on Angel. You know what you came up for. Okay. We're with you. God's with you. Receive your miracle. You're just as good as anybody else. I'm saying that to everybody. Because the accuser of the brethren tries to tell us, that's not for you. You're too, whatever. Don't believe that. It's for you. Always say, my name is Jimmy, and I'll take what you give me. Amen? In Jesus' name, receive your miracle tonight. Bob, you know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know clearly, completely.
Mm-hmm.
Lift up your hands. In Jesus' name, take from the hand of God. Take and eat, the Lord says. Take what I give you. Take my goodness. In Jesus' name, receive your miracle tonight. Right now, in Jesus' name. Son, I love you so much. You got your heart completely, you know exactly what you want, right?
Yes, sir.
Father, in Jesus' name, I believe Dwayne knows exactly what he wants. I just loose that miracle to this young man right now. And he'll get it in a way that he completely understands. And it's going to blow his mind, Lord. Receive your miracle, Dwayne. Good. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to speak to you for the next few moments. I promise not to go over. I'd rather stop than go over. But I'm going to share a message with you. And if you would, fellas in the sound booth, if you would please give me my first verse found in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 12 and 13. Of course, my idea and what I want to happen to everybody that sits under the voice of the sound of my preaching is that you become a word person. She does?
Yes, she does.
Did she say that?
Yes.
Specifically for miracles?
I told her you were praying for miracles.
Oh.
She said she's
coming in? I'll stop it. We'll call her up.
Okay.
Just drag her by her hair. No, just bring her up. Bring her up in a nice way. We'll get a hold of her. Right now we're in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 in the NLT translation of the Bible, and you're about to get a word from the Word that I believe will help you. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you're going through as if something strange is happening to you. Now, we're going to address that tonight because we have an accuser. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser of the children of God and anybody else that will listen. He accuses us constantly, telling us we're not worthy, that the promise is not for us, and that this thing happened to us because we did something wrong. But I'm going to show you a different view of that tonight, and I want you to grab it. Sometimes we make mistakes, and sometimes bad things happen because we made mistakes. But most of the time, the devil is just trying to give you a package that you don't want. You young lady, come up here. Keisha, come up with her. How about that other one? Do you need a miracle? Do you need any kind of miracles tonight?
I can use any miracle.
Okay, just line up where I can just see all three of you, however the formation. We want to talk to you tonight. The Lord said here right before he came in to ask people to come up that wanted a miracle, that need a miracle in their life. You know, there's one thing to need an answered prayer. There's another thing where you need something that's so much just... If it happens, it's a miracle. Let me tell you something. If you can explain it, it's not a miracle. I'm hoping and I'm going to lay my hands on you and believe that you're going to get something that cannot be explained because it's a miracle. I want both of you to lift up your hands. And I'm just going to lay hands on you. Open your hearts. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up, hears my voice and opens up, I will come into them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you know what you came up here for. You came up here for a miracle, which is answered prayer that cannot be explained. I loose that power in both of you. Tonight, right now, in Jesus' name, now look at me. God gives you your miracle. Will you come in this church and tell it? God bless each and every one of you. Now sit down and pay attention to me. I just started a message that's just for you and for me and for everybody in here. The name of the message is, why is this happening to me? What did I do that this is happening to me? And my answer tonight is nothing. Okay? Nothing. And we'll start here. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trial you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. For these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing him, his glory, when it is revealed to all the world. And I'm here to tell you, more times than we like to imagine, Satan comes and enters our thought life. And he gives us reasons. Well, this happened because of this, or this happened because of that. On February the 22nd, I was in my office at 9:30 a.m. And a straight line wind hit my house like it did the house where all of Job's children were. And the house fell flat and all of his children were killed in a moment. Now, I'm going to address this in a way that I hope that you'll understand. And I'm here to tell you that most of the time when something happens to you, it's not because of that. And I'm going to show you what it is because of. Follow me if you would. Give me Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, please. And this is what God says to us. See, there's something bigger than we can see as humans. God can see into the future. God creates the future. God knows the future. God knows the ones that will serve him, and God knows the ones that won't serve him. And God knows this, his lovely creation, all men and women on the face of the earth. He loves every one of them, and he wants good for every one of them. Even the one that will die saying no to him. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And at 9:30 a.m., a straight line wind came and hit my house. It took it 1 minute to do that. It completely annihilated my roof. And until March the 6th, all of that debris was all over my yard. And when I walked out the door, I saw it every morning, and I wondered about that. And I took an inventory. And I'm the quickest to say, well, I wonder what I did. See, that's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us in our minds. He accuses us through people that don't like us. He accuses us through people that can't hold their tongue, that try to destroy us. And we have to realize that. We have to realize that. There's no better place to go in the Bible to understand this predicament that hits all, saved and lost. We're constantly being tormented. The word says in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, there's enough demons under Satan to inundate every person and bother them all the time and accuse them and defame them and discourage them and hurt them and make people compromise what they want to do. That's what the devil does. But let's expose him. And there's no better place to go than to the 42 chapters of the book of Job, and we're not going through all 42, but I would, you know what? My nephew up in Illinois recently called me and asked me, Uncle Ange, where should I start reading? All of a sudden, he wants God in his life. He was all of a sudden, he's 18 years old. He said, Uncle, he said, you were 19. I'm 18. He says, something's happened to me. I'm no longer chasing all these girls and doing all these other things that I will not mention here. He says, all of a sudden, I'm finding that there's a new and living way with God, and he's in my heart, and I have a hunger there. He called me. I was hunting with Sherry's uncle and Sherry's father. He's your uncle, isn't he, Jimmy? Cousin. I'm sorry, cousin. But anyway, and I had a good chance right there, and I just started with my audience there. They couldn't leave. They was in my truck. I started ministering to them. I said, now I'm going to pray, and I began to pray with all my might. And three people got witness too. And I told him, start at the Gospel of John, which is a good place. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you want to just start a book to read, find yourself a translation of the Bible that you understand, and just prayerfully start reading the book of Job. It's only 42 chapters. And you're going to find some things about it. Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. One day, the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth and watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asked Satan, I want you to know something. Job went through trials for 42 chapters, and he never was told what it was all about. And God uncovers the pages of time and shows you and me tonight, this is what happens to people. This is how people get discouraged, and they don't want to do anything for God, and they just feel, what's the use? I'm nothing. And Satan answered the Lord and said, well, I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? The King James says, have you considered my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. Satan replied to the Lord, yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything that he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will curse you to your face. Here's what God said. All right, you may test him, the Lord said to Satan. Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. So Satan left the Lord's presence, killed all of Job's children. And then Satan was allowed to touch Job's body with great sickness on his body. And the word says this, and here's a key to victory and blessing. In all of this, 42 chapters, it says, Job did not sin. Job did not sin against God. I'm going to try to get these other three or four verses in. This is exciting. Job had three friends that falsely accused him of doing wrong. Thus the reason for his sufferings. And what they said, his friends said it to him, was, well, this can't just happen for no reason at all. Now, Job, you've done something wrong. You haven't told us, but you've done something wrong. And all through the pain of losing his children and having sickness come on his body and sores all over his body and having his own wife say, why don't you just curse God and die? Job did not sin. And these three friends were relentless. Hey, with friends like that, you don't need enemies. Well, let's figure this out, Job. You must have done something, because people that just are always okay, nothing ever happens to them. That's not true. That's not true. That's not biblical. That's not what the scriptures say. Jesus told us himself in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, not the deadhead and the deadbeats. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers every one of them from every one of those things that was so powerful in the Apostle Paul's life that he quoted Psalm 34:19 in the New Testament letters. And he said, God has delivered me. Every time somebody's tried to hurt me, God has delivered me. Every time something went wrong, when I was hungry, when I was shipwrecked, when that snake come up and bit me and thought it was going to kill me, see, God was with me every time. God delivered me every time. You just got to wait to the end of what? The trial. No storm lasts forever. No trial lasts forever. And all along these 42 chapters, these men were tormenting Job, saying, why don't you just tell us, you know, you've done something. And they made it sound like it. You're saying God is unjust and he allowed this to happen. No, God's not unjust. But God's ways are higher than our ways. He's trying to get some things done we can't see today. Now we know in part, but then we'll know everything just as clear as a bell. And you know what? I'm going to be there with a Diet Coke and buttered popcorn to watch Satan be cast into the lake of fire. And he is your enemy. He's not your friend, and he's my enemy. And he'll be there forever. Next place I'm going to go to is Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 29. And this is what I want you to get in your heart. I want you to get into your heart tonight. But as for me, I know. I don't think. I don't speculate. I know. My Redeemer liveth. Over here in the middle, this is where I want you to be. I know my Redeemer liveth. He knows my address. Over here on this side of the church, on the east side, I want you to know and get this in your heart. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know he knows more about my trial than I do. I know my Redeemer liveth, and he will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body is decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought. How dare you go on persecuting me. Satan, get your hands off of these people, saying it's his own fault. You should fear punishment yourselves. And Satan, you're the only one named at this time, devil. We know for sure you're going to hell. You're the first one named in the Word. You are going to the lake of fire, and there's nothing you can do about it, and you're a liar and a murderer from the beginning? Just like our Savior said, you should fear punishment yourselves, for your attitude deserves punishment. Then you will know that there indeed is a judgment. See, you've got a chance to know God in this life or in the next life. You will know judgment. Next place. There's two things. This is the first one. I want you to get it in your heart. I want you to say with me right now, if you're a believer in here, I want you to say, I know my Redeemer, my Forgiver is alive, and he's with me, and he's not paying attention. He knows all about it. And then the next thing, Job chapter 23, verses 10 through 14. Job chapter 23. You got it? Okay. Now, hear this. But he knows where I'm going. And when he tests me, I'm going to come out as pure gold. God ain't going to give you anything that you can't get through. And when he's through with you, put your hands in the hands of the man who stilled the water. Put your hands in the hand of the one who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you'll look at others differently. And put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Keep it there. Keep it there. Keep with God. For I have stayed on God's paths. I have followed his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from his commands. This is right halfway through the book of Job. He's standing up. He's having to stand up to Satan through his supposedly three friends. Okay? We don't want to be this kind of friend to anybody. Amen? Amen. I have not departed from his commands, but have treasured his words more than daily food. But once he has made his decision, who can change his mind? Whatever he wants to do, he's going to do. So he will do to me whatever he has planned. He controls my destiny. See, I don't care what it looks like. The devil ain't got nothing on me. Every morning, every day, every Wednesday night, put yourself in the hands of God and trust that. Trust me no matter what, even if you think he's going to correct you. Last place. Number one, I want you to remember this. I know my Redeemer's alive and he's living. And I know when he's through with me, I'm coming forth spiritually as pure gold. Nothing the devil can do can stop that from happening to you. Last place tonight, Job 42, verses 7 through 16. Last place. After the Lord had finished speaking to Job, this is in chapter 42. There's been a lot go on, and God got more and more upset with Job's three pals that made it harder for him all the time, saying, well, he did this and this, that's why this happened. Boy, we bet, I'll tell you what, that's on dangerous ground when you do that. I told my leaders some years ago, I said, don't try to play hookup. It's not easy to do. I've only done it once that I know of in the last 40 years. It was with Larry and Mary. And I'll still stand behind that one, but I haven't done that much. You know why it's hard to do? And you know what else? I'd be real careful what you said about somebody else and that you know. Blah, 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 blah. Because this is what happens. After the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I'm angry with you and your two friends, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. You know what? It's a blasphemous sin to misquote and miscalculate God and act in the place of God. Man, everybody that you know that's going through something, especially the ones you don't like, pray for them. Make a sacrifice of pray. Pray. Pray for your enemies. That's what the word says. That's the power of our God. So take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will then pray for you, and I will accept his prayer. See, he's praying for people that made it. I will accept his prayer. Not your prayer. His prayer. If he doesn't pray, you're going to die. And God meant it. And I will accept his prayer on your behalf. I will not treat you as you deserve, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite did as the Lord said and commanded them. And the Lord accepted Job's prayer. And when Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Isn't there? I need a few more verses in that sound booth to finish this up to verse 16. As quickly as we can. Then all his brothers and sisters and former friends came and feasted with Job in his home. And as they consoled him and comforted him because of all the trials the Lord had brought against him, the Lord let him go through those trials. Let me tell you something. Everybody look at me for just a minute. Anything that happens to you, child of God, it only can happen if God lets it happen. And as for that straight line wind, I got a whole brand new roof on all of my house and extra things put on there that I asked them to do. I don't even want to tell you how much they gave me. It's unreal. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. For now, he had 14,000 sheep. And if you go back, you'll find at first he had 7,000 sheep. Okay? 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. He named the first girl Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Karen Huppuck. In all the land, no women were as lovely as the daughters of Job. And their father put them into his will along with the brothers, which was unheard of at the time. I'm thinking about putting you in my will. Forget about your brother. Oops, we don't have any brothers. Job lived another 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. Look at it. Every time we say the Lord's Prayer and say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, if we do that, we're forgiven. The accuser might get in your mind that is not what it should be, but not in God's mind. See, if you've look here, we're going to take the next few minutes. Make an altar. If you've got anything to confess, confess it. And when you do, be done with it. Never mention it again. Because Isaiah 43, as I read last week, says, I won't even remember your sins. That's what the cross does. Amen. Somebody make an altar.